Testing. Blah, 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 blah. Ready, set, go.
It's time for the Coach Amy and Coach Liz Show,
a podcast for endurance athletes by two athletes, two coaches, and a physical therapist.
We are your hosts, Coach Amy
and Coach Liz,
coming to you from
Kansas City.
Hello.
Good morning.
Here we are.
We're going to talk about the foam.
The foam roller.
The foam roller. But before we do that, I had a patient in last week, and she's listening to the podcast, and she's a new patient for me, and she has a coach, a triathlon coach in, I think, North Carolina, where she's from.
Isn't it a running coach?
No, it's a triathlon coach.
Oh, I thought she was a runner.
No, she's a triathlete.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, good. Yeah. Oh, good for her. Okay.
Well, she's a... No, you're right. She's a runner, but she's... Has she... Oh, my God.
It doesn't matter. She's a coach from North Carolina who's...
She's dabbled in triathlon.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she's a good little runner.
And yeah. She's... You know what? That's funny, because triathletes are... They can come from swimming, cycling, or running.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And this is a runner...
And each one of those are a different breed when they arrive at triathlon. Yes. We have a different set of situations with each one of those. It's so interesting.
You know what? We should do a podcast where we dive into the personalities.
Oh, my gosh.
We could write a book about that. Okay. Well, anyway, this athlete, she said she had listened to our podcast about illness and training, right? Endurance sport, you know, should you train with, you know, okay. So, and in there... In that episode, you know, we say, hey, your coach can help you, you know, manage your training, you know, when you're having an illness. And I think you say, like, well, it depends on how crazy you are. We can't work miracles. And I say, well, your coach can sure try. And she took that snippet of that podcast and turned it into like a little, what is that called?
GIF or whatever.
Yeah, whatever. And she sent it to her coach because she was... one of the reasons that she's injured is because she didn't listen to her coach. Wah, wah, wah.
Oh, we've all been there, girl.
Anyway, I love hearing from people, and I have I love that people are listening and that they can come tell me in person, but we really love your comments. So share those with us, because we like hearing more like this. This kind of just gives us a great boost.
Yeah.
Knowing, you know, what you're getting from it, or like questions that you have.
Reminds me, I'm not just talking into the void, which I usually
we're just not talking to just each other.
I know,
but we are, and you guys are listening in. But you're part of our community. We want to hear from you.
Like, oh, there's somebody out listening.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about foam rollers.
Oh.
Your favorite.
I love foam rollers.
What do you like the foam roller for?
What don't I like the foam roller for?
Okay.
I feel like I use it
all the time. Yeah. There's a wave of like, you know, to foam or not foam. And if you haven't listened to our massage gun episode, I have some similar things to say about foam rollers because...
Oh my gosh. We're going to be without tools.
No.
Are you sure?
I promise you.
I feel like I just have to speak on behalf.
I'm taking away all the tools.
You're not. Like, we're still using them. And I just feel like I have to be honest with you about
that. And I 100% believe that
because we'd all have to try the same moving.
Yeah. If it is, the foam roller is not a bad tool. It's a good tool if it's used correctly. And that's probably
true
of anything.
But I feel like, but I do think we should just.
There's people out there sitting on a PVC pipe. Digging into or a golf ball.
Who would ever use a PVC
pipe? Oh my God. You know who you are.
I mean, I am not going to say that I've never used a PVC pipe.
And like standing on a golf ball with all their weight for their plantar or digging a golf ball into their glute. And it's that actually is creating damage. So it's very similar to the massage gun in that there are areas of your body where that you're cutting off the blood flow by using... it's where you're using it, and it's the material that you're using, right? Or the size of that material for that body part. So, you know, depth or whatever. You're going to hurt some structures. You
don't
can't...
get dirty out there, audience.
Oh, God, I missed it already.
I know.
Oh, no. Okay.
But like the, but I mean, so, so the, like, the I mean, how much, I mean, you know, not, not just ripping your body apart.
Right. And again, it goes back to this. We've said this before. Oh, it hurts so good. There's athletes, sometimes that's not correct. The hurt so good isn't necessarily so good.
Okay, but this is my question. So if you use it and, like, it does feel good and then you do feel better after you use it, I feel like it is a big ask to not do that. Because, like, I will use it and then it's like, oh, I can move and I move without pain and I feel so much better. And so, like, it's a big ask to be like, well, you shouldn't do that.
Right. So, and that is such a good point because there are some things that we do that give us temporary relief, which actually caused damage
or and that's fair.
Or slowed down a progression of healing.
That's fair.
And it's knowing, you know, so it brings me back to that whole stretching thing, which that's a whole other podcast where, you know, people are, you're, let's just say, for example, high hamstring, okay? And you're like, oh, I'm stretching this. It hurts. I'm stretching it. And it does feel really good at the moment. And you're like, oh, I've got
my And the high foot. Hamstring is where it's like right up where, because your hamstring comes up and attaches into your sit bones. Where your originates are. So high on hamstring that bony, is that hamstring part that's up really high. And that's that is a really hard spot to get rid of.
Yeah, it is. And that's where someone might sit on a lacrosse ball and try to grind on it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's true of any tendon, most tendons we know now in science and medicine that stretching it does not help.
And explain tendon, like, so that people.
Yeah. Tendon is where the muscle attaches to the bone.
So you've got the big muscle and then, oh, the muscles come and attach to the bone. It's the tendon that's like the thing that's connecting those two.
Yes. Okay. And our listeners would be familiar with Achilles, hamstring tendons, so if you think about it in your mind, like people will go and then they'll go on the Google and they'll be like, oh, I got this stretch and this person said stretch and stretch it. Well, that's not, it's the worst thing you can do. So it's example, that's just an example of, okay, this felt good at the time and I had some relief and it was temporary, but, and then not realizing that that thing is causing damage or worsening it or slowing down your recovery.
So what would be your guidelines for how to use a roller foam well?
Okay, very good question.
Thank you.
Let's pick a structure. Pick a structure for me and I'll...
Thoracic spine. We've talked about our thoracic spine for, you know,
okay,
a few podcasts.
And how are you rolling that? Are you perpendicular to it and rolling up and down? Are you actually rolling the spine or the muscles around it?
Both. And to be clear, thoracic spine, as a reminder, is where, you know, if you wear some kind of bra apparatus, it's that middle part of the spine. Mm-hmm. It's where that is. Go ahead. I'm doing both. All of the above.
Doing both. Okay. Yeah. So my question then would be, what is the density of that structure? What is the density of the apparatus that you're using? Your foam. Is it a PVC pipe? Is it,
I have a foam roller with little divots in it.
Okay.
I've used all of the above, but the one that I have at home that I'm most frequently using is, you know, there's roller foams, a lot of them are just smooth, but then there's some that have little divots in them, and that is the one that we happen to have in our house. That
is it really spiky, or
no,
are they...
they're like long blocks, like, okay. It's not really spiky.
Right. Good. So why I ask is there's some that are very spiky and pokey. I've changed my mind on the density. So, meaning the firmness of it. You would think pool noodle. Okay, that's, you kind of squish a pool noodle. There's different pool noodles out there. If you get the dollar, the one that's only a dollar, and you lay on it, you're going to completely flatten it.
Yeah.
Okay. But there's those little bit, you know, nicer quality pool noodles there that you could lay on it and it is going to give. It's going to give somewhat. But it's not going to completely flatten out.
Okay. So one guideline is firm, but it has some give.
Some give. Yes. That's the point I'm trying to get across.
Okay.
That actually may be more beneficial if you're thinking about your tissues and what you're trying to do to them.
Okay, so firm and not like, and like a broader platform.
Broader
platform, not super spiky, not super firm, but has a little bit of give. And I feel like that also feels like you feel that that is not just getting into the muscle, but it kind of then loosens up the fascia a little bit more around the muscle because you've got that give a bit more. Yes,
because here's what happens when the density or the firmness is too much. Again, you can it might feel good at the moment, but what you're doing is you're compressing that tissue instead of mobilizing the tissue.
Okay.
Now, so you might be getting some mobility out of it, but you're also compressing it.
Okay. So a gentle, like a surface that has a bit more give is going to mobilize the tissue better and not just smash it.
Yes.
Okay.
Because and thereby allowing the blood to flow in and out, blood, all the nutrients in and out. Think about it, ebbing and flowing and moving that tissue rather than compressing that tissue.
Okay, so you've got the firmness. Mm-hmm. It's a broad surface. It has a bit more give. And then, I mean, do you roll and hold on the spot? Do you roll over the spot? Like, how are you approaching the pressure that you're putting on there and how you move around the area?
Oh, that's such a good question. Thank you. Oh, it's... And this was not... Student. We didn't make any notes for this one.
I'm asking for a friend. Wink, wink.
Okay. So, let's say, for example, you have your... You've selected the appropriate tool. Okay. Now, let's go the muscles around the spine.
Okay.
Okay. So maybe you're like to one side just a little bit.
Okay. So that means that I'm laying on the roller foam, but I'm tilted, I'm rolled over. So I'm off.
Yeah. You're on
off
your
center a bit.
Back off center a little bit. Your knees are bent. Your feet are planted on the floor.
Yeah.
And, it might be good to do a video for this. Well, if there's time, we'll do a video for this. But let's move your body over. You've got the tool and the tool is not moving and you're moving your body on the tool.
So am I rolling the full length of my spine?
No.
Okay.
You're going to select a spot and you're going to move your body up and down, side to side, clockwise and counterclockwise.
So small movements around the area that I'm trying to loosen up.
Yeah. You're moving the tissue.
Okay.
On the device. The device is not slipping around. It's in contact with the body, and then you're moving that fascia.
But the roller foam does roll, right? And so is it not much movement? So if I wanted to do, like, so let's talk about that thoracic spine, like, you know, what is it, like 6 or 7, 8 inches, something like that area. So, you know, and should I be rolling the whole length from that, like, 8 inches back and forth, or would I place the roller foam and, like, just kind of gently move around in, like, the top part of the thoracic spine and then readjust and sit up and then move that roller foam down and kind of, you know, then get the lower part? So you're moving that roller foam and then doing some very gentle, small movements around that area.
Yes, and I would suggest, so I said move up and down side to side, right? If you have it perpendicular to your back, you could move side to side. But when you start to go up and down, now the roller is going to move.
Yeah.
If it is a little bit more dense.
Yeah.
So now you might move it perpendicular.
Okay.
But I have a better tool that I love that
So let's just recap. Because I'm thinking, like, you know, I mean, truly, most of us, I usually, like, will just, you know, I'll sit on that roller foam and it's perpendicular to my spine. And I roll back and forth like that full length of that 8 inches. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I feel like... You're saying that's the better way to do that would be cut it into sections, make very small movements while you're laying on that roller foam, and then replace the roller foam and do more small movements. Correct?
Yes, I like that. Because my point would be that you're moving in all three planes. You're moving the tissue every direction instead of just...
In one direction.
And
that makes so much sense because I feel like, you know, as I'm thinking, you know, if I'm working through someone's thoracic spine on the massage table, right?
Yes.
And like you're wanting to work both the muscle and then also the fascia and moving that stuff in different directions
then gets... And let's tell people what
the fascia is. So, yeah, fascia is connective tissue, right? So it's like, I usually tell people it's like if you open a package of meat and like it's the white... No, we're going to stay focused. And it's like the white marbly stuff that like you see coating the meat or like, I mean, I feel like that's the best visual I can give people. That's not a very scientific-y.
To become a physical therapist, I've been through, you know, undergraduate and graduate anatomy courses. And that involves dissection of cadavers, human bodies.
Massage school even involves
And it sounds really gruesome. And, you know, when you take these courses, you have multiple, but you're not just going to work on one body. You have multiple bodies because people have donated them.
Yeah.
In order to look at and appreciate the muscles in dissection, you had to cut through this very hard, dense, white tissue.
Which is kind of, I mean, it looks similar to what you would see on meat, like when you open chicken. I mean, it's different.
It's different, but it's very tightened down. You know, like it's difficult to get through it. So it's a tough material. If you think about it being really light and loosey-goosey, it's not. It's very firm and it's got direct, it goes every which way. It goes every direction and it encompasses organs, groups of organs, muscles. So it's in your body three-dimensionally, like a web, like sticking
out. And it's all connected. That's why, you know, when you say like, the body's all connected. Well, the fascia actually runs through. I mean, it does. It goes through all the organs, all of the muscles. So it is like, you know, when you get one fascia spot that's like tight and it starts to pull. And that's like why it can affect other areas, because it starts to pull and pull and pull. And it's all, it's not like you've got one sheet of fascia over your quad and then a separate sheet of fascia over your IT band. It's like it all runs together and it's very thick, very tight. It's tough material.
It really is.
And we're lucky, so our bodies don't fall apart.
But, yeah. Right? It's what keeps our... But you're trying to target a muscle, right? And you're trying to attack, you know, target the mobility, but you're not going to get through it unless you get through the fascia first.
Right. And the fascia is like, it's really interesting. The way you work with fascia is, for massage at least, is very different than with the muscles. And so it makes sense to me, as we're talking about what to do with the roller foam, that like pressure, like having a little bit more give, where you can get that stretch through the skin and through the fascia because it's able to move, and then going in different directions. And really, like, some of that fascia work, like for massage, I mean, fascia is so interesting, both emotionally and physically, like what's held in the fascia.
Yeah.
But how you loosen it up, and that slow, it's a very slow release versus the muscle. So that's really interesting with that slightly softer surface. If you kind of sink into that roller foam a little bit, and it allows that fascia to kind of spread
and melt.
And melt.
Think about melting.
Yeah.
Okay. I have an experiment for our listeners. Take a chicken breast.
Yeah.
Push on it hard and fast.
Yeah.
And tell me if you get any movement. Now push on it gently and slowly and see how that muscle moves.
That's a good idea. And you know what? Yeah. Also, sometimes, I don't know if you've ever, you know, for our meat eaters out there, sometimes like you can get a hold of the fascia on the outside of a chicken muscle and like you can pull it off, and it's not like the white stuff that's really obvious, like when you're cutting off the fat. It's like a very sheer, it's you almost can't see it. It's a very sheer coating on like a chicken breast. And if you pull that off, I feel like that kind of gives you a sense of what you're working with, because it's very,
That it's a lot thicker than the human body. And I don't know how you butcher a chicken. I think it's taken off already.
Well, it is, but layers. I feel like it's kind of it's like a dissect, like I'm like, oh, this is fascia. So it's more like I'm not really preparing the chicken correctly. I'm just like, this is really interesting. Let me pull this hard part off the chicken.
When my daughter was in high school and we had the COVID
and there was a lockdown. Are you from, we had the COVID. Remember?
Well, it was shut down. She didn't get to go to school. So I ordered, and she is all into science and stuff. So I ordered a bunch of things for her to dissect.
That's great. So you can see the fascia.
Yeah. And you could really appreciate it, because she had to cut through all of that in order to get
it's
to
tough
whatever.
Stuff.
It is it's tough. Stuff. Anyways, okay, so now we've nailed that home.
Oh my Lord, have
okay,
mercy.
Okay, so
tool. Sorry, people.
There is this. I went to this continuing ed course for pelvic floor, but luckily for the participants, our instructor gave us just a whole bunch of gyms. We call them pearls in the physical therapy world, is where you go home, you go back and you're like, oh, I've got a whole wealth of information that went well beyond the pelvic floor. And, one of these is this use of a tool that is more of like, we use them for balance pods in, you know, the gym, you know, it's a step on this thing and it's like a little balance pod. I call it a hedgehog because the ones that he recommended that we use, have little tiny bumps, not the super spiky hard ones, because those balance pods do exist as well. But these are like little gentle pods. And some of our listeners have been to physical therapy with me since then, and everyone goes home with a hedgehog. I call it a hedgehog because it looks like a little
hedgehog.
And
you'll put a link in the notes so we can see what it is.
I will take a picture of it and show it to you. Now, I order it in bulk. I don't even know if you can buy one.
What do you do with them?
That's what we use it for, the fascial and the instead of the foam roller.
So you sit on it?
You could sit on it. It is safe enough. You could put it in your armpit and do arm work on your pectoral, which you would never want to do with a foam roller because of all the nerves, right?
Just stuff like, that runs through there.
Yeah. Just like we talked about in the massage podcast. Please don't sit on that golf ball or that hard lacrosse
ball. So the hedgehog is something that's more forgiving and you can move it around to the different areas that you want to do.
Yes, and because it's flat on one side. So when you mentioned, oh, but if I try to move the foam roller, if I try to go up and down over the foam roller is going to move and roll with me. So this just gets rid of that whole problem.
So the hedgehog would be an alternative to the foam roller.
Yes. Oh, and it's safer because it's, you know, you're not going to compress a nerve with it.
Okay. So you could probably get into some of those places that you can't with a foam roller.
Yes. The size of it.
That's where you want to use a golf ball. And I know you're not supposed to, and I do not.
Don't even use a golf ball because the hedgehog would work.
I know, but I'm just saying, you know, sometimes the foam rollers, the surface is too general, and you're like, you have that spot that's
right. So
maybe in the multifidi, and it doesn't get in there. I'm not saying personally. That's a little tiny muscle that's like in your spine.
This would work for that.
See?
Oh, I should have.
They're so hard to get to. I just want to take a knife and like stab my multifidi and be like, wait. We're not supposed to do that. Don't do that, Liz. No, don't do that. Use the hedgie.
Because it's like a dome shape. Yes. It's dome shaped, flat on one side. It's got little knobs.
We'll put a link in the show notes.
We will. I'll take a picture of it for you.
Is there any other foam rolling stuff? I feel like we've gone on more about.
I don't know. Is there?
I feel like we've nailed it. A little slightly softer surface, small area, move in all directions. Possibly use the hedgehog instead. No golf balls, PVC pipes. Don't put a knife in your
multifidi.
Think
about the surface area and the density of the thing that you're using.
And just also, because good job for you for taking some time to stretch and mobilize.
Right.
Good job. So we are making sure we're doing that. And we're not discouraging you.
Yeah, that's the purpose of
Hedgy.
The mobility with this tool is to provide, mobility. If you're injured or hurt and things are causing pain, you might want to discover why that is.
She's like giving me the hairy eyeball right now.
Well, fix it.
Thanks so much for listening. And remember, we are in this together.
Until next time.